The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God add the blessing of His reading to His Word. You may be seated. Keep your finger in Psalm 23, and I want to turn your attention to Hebrews chapter 13. We've read from Hebrews already, but in Hebrews 13, I want to call your attention to two verses, Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Underscore that phrase in our reading in Hebrews 13, verse 20. The great shepherd, that great shepherd of the sheep. That's what Psalm 23 is about. We'll look at that in a moment. Let's pray together as we commit our time to the Lord. Father, we bow in Your presence on this, the Lord's Day. We ask Your blessing on the reading of Your Word as we have heard it. But God, we pray now for the expounding of Your Word, and I ask for Your grace in enabling to do so. I pray for Your hearers, that they would receive and embrace that which You have presented in Your Word today. God, open our eyes afresh and anew. We ask this morning that our hearts will be drawn closer to You, that we would, in the words of St. Francis, that, Lord, we would love You more dearly, follow You more nearly, and we would ask that this morning. Lord, we thank You for the day and this time together. We ask that You would meet the need of each person in this auditorium, every man, every woman, every child. And, Lord, we just commend ourselves to You and look to You. And we would say with David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We love You, Father, and we thank You for Your love, and thank You that You'll never forget us. We thank You that You'll never leave us alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 23 is the most common psalm. I'm going to ask you to join me, and let's look at a familiar passage with new eyes. It's dangerous to open a passage like this because it's like, I know Psalm 23. I know what it says. But dear ones, God has ministered to my heart, and I trust it will minister to yours, as I looked with new eyes at Psalm 23. Please remember that Psalms 22, 23, and 24 form a trilogy on the Messiah. Psalm 22 presents the Messiah in His redeeming work. My God, why have You forsaken me? Psalm 22 looks at the Messiah as the Redeemer. It ends in verse 31 with a note of victory in Psalm 22. that he has done. It is shades of the statement of the Lord Jesus on Calvary at John 19:30 when he said, "It is finished. Finished. It is finished. Tetelestai, paid in full. Victory." Psalm 23 presents the risen Messiah. He is risen. Now he's not just dead. He is alive. I am so grateful. Sidebar, as I said this morning in the CLA session, that God has allowed Pastor Brandt to be delayed coming to your church as your pastor. And I am so grateful that you invited me to come back one more time. Thank you. Because now I get to finish my series on Psalm 24. But that's next time. But in Psalm 24, it presents the king returning. Here we have redemption. Now we have the risen one, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ who is caring for his sheep. And dear ones, when David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," can I remind you, dear ones, that a pastor is a shepherd? And there are those who in the 21st century would say that's such an outmoded, irrelevant term. Oh, no, it's not. When I was in the home office at Friends of Israel, the church asked us to write a letter of greeting and commendation to their pastor that they were honoring in a celebration. And so I looked at that pastor. Do you realize how many people, godly great leaders of God's people, were shepherds? Moses. Moisha. He was a shepherd. He had a shepherd's rod, that staff. I mean, that staff God used. In Exodus 14, God said to Moses, "Pull your staff out and the waters will part." And he did it. That shepherd's staff. David said, "Your rod, your staff, they comfort me." So in my letter to that pastor, I said, "Pastor, and to your people, I want to remind you of what a shepherd is. He is a caretaker of a flock. God has given you, pastor, a flock. It's his flock. You're his under shepherd. You're his physical presence there. The Lord is my pastor." As I've mentioned before, might as well say it again. God has been your pastor, dear ones, in this time where you have been without a pastor. It's been awesome to see God shepherd you. It's been awesome to see God give you his peace, his confidence, his comfort. In this time, as you've waited, God has shepherded you. It's been my pleasure and privilege to be invited these 3 years. Thank you. And it's been a joy to be part of that shepherding process that God has used to keep you going. But the Lord is my pastor. I shall not want. I reminded, not only do you have a flock that you are under God to give account of, that folks, the rigors of a shepherd, the shepherd endures the elements. He's out there with his sheep. He's right there with them in the heat, in the cold, in the rain, in the comfort of a beautiful day. The shepherd is there with the flock. He endures those rigors. I remembered as I wrote that the time that I was out visiting a family in a snowstorm when we were pastoring in Alpena. Almost didn't go, but I said, "No, we got to go." And I'm so glad we did, because I took our trustee with us and we led that family to Christ that night. in the midst of a snowstorm, in which I almost said, no, better not go. You see, your shepherd will care for you even in the midst of a snowstorm. He'll be there for you. You see, dear ones, the picture of a shepherd is a marvelous picture of love. It is a picture of love. Psalm 23 is the testimony of David to the faithfulness of God. What's fascinating about Psalm 23, let me read it again. It doesn't take long. But I want you to notice something with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dear ones, I emphasize that again because in Psalm 23 in verses 1 to 5, everything is present tense. Present tense. To me, that helps me understand David is not an old man looking back. He is a man looking now at what God has done, is doing, and will do. This is present tense. The Lord is my shepherd. If he was an old man looking back, he might have said, the Lord was my shepherd. I should not want. But that's not what he said. The Lord is my shepherd. And David, being a shepherd, looked at his own life, looked at his own conduct, and said, what I am doing for my sheep, God does for me. And dear ones, it is the testimony of David to the faithfulness of God. A lady in our last pastorate came to me and she had gone to a funeral, and there in the funeral pamphlet was the 23rd Psalm. And she said, Pastor Tim, is the 23rd Psalm about death? Can I answer that question for her and for you right now? Oh, no, it's not. No! Yes, death is mentioned in verse 4. But no, death has been conquered. Verse 31 of Psalm 22 said, victory He has done. It is finished. Now the risen Savior is leading and feeding and tending His flock. And so no, Psalm 23 is not all about death. It is all about life. Life in the 21st century for us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Welcome to the great shepherd who has been raised from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ. The psalm has three divisions. Notice first of all in verse 1, David's confident assurance. David's confident assurance. My dear friend, the most important relationship you and I have is our relationship to Jesus Christ. That is the most important relationship we can have, our relationship with Him. And David states it affirmatively. He states it with conviction. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. David's confident assurance. Verses 2 through 5, you have David's continual awareness. And there's four areas that he's continually aware of God's provision, and God's protection, and God's presence, and God's production. What does God produce? And yes, we'll go over those again, so you don't have to worry. But I love the way David concludes in verse 6. Dear ones, his concluding affirmation, as David has looked at his life at this time, David says with absolute conviction, just as he began in verse 1, he concludes with an affirming conclusion, surely goodness and mercy will follow me most of my life. Is that what the psalmist said? All the days of my life. And I will. He's moved from the present tense, folks, to a future tense. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Businessmen know that the best form of advertising is a satisfied customer. The customer who is willing to tell their friends about this business. Folks, David is a satisfied customer of the living God. This psalm has been called the He and Me Psalm. It's a good description. He and me. It's about God and me. There are 8 compound names of God. That is Jehovah and another name attached to it. The first one is in Genesis 22, one that we love, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh. Here is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, our shepherd. This is another compound name of God. The Lord is Jehovah, used over 6,000 times in the Old Testament. Jehovah Rohi, R-O-H-I. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, our shepherd. Sidebar. If there is the interest in your heart and you would like to do further study in Psalm 23 after today, may I suggest that you purchase a book by the man's name is Philip Keller, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Fascinating insights, fascinating instruction, and I'll tell you about the rod and the staff from his book in a moment. But dear ones, here we have the living God saying of himself that he is David's shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. As I am the shepherd for my Father, God is a shepherd to me. I want to make a simple observation, but I think it's pertinent and I think it's encouraging. If the Lord is my shepherd. I'm one of his sheep. If the Lord is my shepherd, I'm one of his sheep. I belong to him. He'll take care of me. I shall not want. Notice David's relationship to God and his reliance upon God. Dear ones, you and I walk by faith. We walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We trust him. David's absolute reliance is upon the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. His reliance is upon the great shepherd who arose from the dead. I remember talking to a Western Michigan University professor. Jewish professor, actually. And we were talking in his office and he said to me, he said, Tim, when Jesus was alive and teaching, there were over 2,000 people claiming to be the Messiah. Why did his teachings catch on? I said, well, maybe, Professor, it's because of the other 2,000. 1,999 stayed dead. He's the only one who came back to life. He arose from the dead. And he held his arms up like this. It's impossible for the dead to raise. What is impossible with men, dear ones, is not impossible with God. For God raised him from the dead. We have a living Savior today, dear ones. No wonder you and I sing it. And we could sing it 51 other times in the year. He lives! He lives! Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. Yeah. I have a living Savior. I am His and He is mine. Here is the testimony of David to God's faithfulness as he has relied upon Him. Sidebar. In 1 Samuel 17, David comes to his brothers at the battlefield and he hears Goliath defying and challenging the armies of Israel. But more importantly, defaming the God of Israel. And David says, to Saul, I love this statement. I'm going to move ahead. This is what he says to Goliath. Goliath, you come to me with sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. You are mine. He will give you to me today. That shepherd boy knew that his shepherd was with him. He knew that his shepherd would defeat that champion of the Philistines. And dear ones, in the 21st century, can I remind you of something vital? But today, May 23rd, 2021, you and I have a living Savior. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is faithful. He will never fail you. He is with you wherever you go. He will provide. And David, from the outset, states with confidence, the Lord is my shepherd. There's his relationship. I shall not want. There's his reliance. Can I remind you folks that God's word is full of promises that he's going to meet our need? Here's two. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply most of your needs according. Is that what the word of God says? You're going to let me get away with that. But my God shall supply how much? All. Are you sure? All your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know what I like about testimonies? Is it's what God is doing today. Not what God has done. What God's doing today. How God's working your life today. Here's David saying, here's what God is doing for me today. He is meeting every need that I have. He has absolute dependence, absolute reliance upon God. In 1973, my dad was a Gideon, and so we had gone to the Gideon's International Convention down in Houston, Texas. The Bible teacher for that week was a man by the name of Dr. Joe Temple, and this is an amazing testimony. In every one of his messages, it was like, I could never do that. I could never do that. Why? Because Dr. Joe Temple told us that when God called he and his wife to the ministry, God said, I don't want you to ask anyone of anything. You ask everything to me. You ask me. Don't ask anybody else. You just ask me, and I'll take care of you. So Joe tells us one of his messages. He tells us. He said, I went into a restaurant, ordered a steak dinner with all the trimmings. I didn't have any money. I could never do this, folks. I would end up having to wash dishes for a week. But he walks into the restaurant. He said, I ordered a steak dinner with all the trimmings. And then I said, okay, God, you're going to have to pay for it. How many of you would do that? Would you join me and say, I wouldn't do that? But he did it. And you know what? God provided somebody to pay his dinner. I've never had that ever. Yes, I have. Can't say that. But not intentionally, folks. Joe Temple showed us what it is to walk by faith. He said, right down to my wife's death when she passed away, God provided the money even for her funeral. My dear friend, here is the sound of a satisfied customer. The Lord is my shepherd. That's his relationship. I shall not want. I will not lack. And neither will you. I would love to hear your testimonies of how God has provided for you over the course of your life. The Lord is my shepherd. An absolute, confident assurance. In the margin of your Bible, if you're taking notes, God bless you. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that this life is in his Son. Dear ones, the most important relationship you have is your relationship with God. The most important future event you must prepare for is that eventuality when you will stand before God and you will leave this life, whether in Christ or outside of Christ. My dear friend, the most important relationship you have is that relationship with Jesus Christ, and you can know. You can know that you have eternal life. You can know, you can say with that same confidence, the Lord is my Savior, the Lord is my Shepherd, I will not want. Well, we got to keep going. There's five more verses to cover. Here we go, verses 2-5. Look at David's continual awareness. Verse 2. I like this one. I have a motto in life that so many restaurants, so little time. David says in verse 2, He makes me lie down in green pastures. My dear friend, the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep, the great shepherd who is tending his flock, number one, provides for that flock. Here is God's provision. Both in abundance. How does God bless? Abundantly. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Two things, rest and food. Food and rest. That's involved in those pastures. Folks, I'm not a farmer. I'm not a rancher. I'm not a shepherd. At least not a physical one. So I've never shepherded. I've never done any of that. But I have been the recipient of God's provision of food and rest, especially spiritual food and spiritual rest. It was August of 1987. I had applied to the Friends of Israel. They had invited me. They had agreed that they saw God's hand upon us and that they wanted us to be part of the Friends of Israel. And so I was invited back for a second meeting in September. And it was a hot, hot August day. And I had like 8 cups of regular coffee that day. And about midnight that night, I was having chest pains. So I woke up and Kay said, what's wrong? I said, I'm having chest pains. Maybe we should call and see if they want me to come. She said, get dressed. We're going to the hospital. So I went to the hospital and I'm checking in. And the lady said, what are your symptoms? I said, I'm having chest pains. She said, get out of here and go, okay. So I went in, they gave me an examination, and they put me in the intensive care unit. As I laid down in that bed, I had absolute peace. I had absolute peace. I knew He was there. I knew He was there. I was in His hand, and He was by my side. As Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. God gives us peace. God gives us rest. God gives us food. Paul says later in his epistle of 1 Timothy 6, having food and raiment, let us be content. Sidebar, do you realize, folks, that you and I are wealthier right now than the Lord Jesus Christ was in His days on earth? He said, number one, I have no place to hang my head. Foxes of the field have a hole, the birds have a nest, but the Son of Man has no place to hang His head. You and I do. But He provides. Jehovah Rohi. David's continual awareness of God's provision. He makes me lie down in green pastures. There is abundance. There is satisfaction. This sheep has a marvelous, marvelous caretaker. My shepherd is the Lord, and look how He takes care of me. He gives me abundance, and then He puts me right by still waters. Interestingly enough about sheep, they will not drink from a polluted stream. They want fresh water. Still water. Clean water. Calm, refreshing. Isn't it a picture of... It's a marvelous picture, folks. A beautiful blue sky, green grass, water right by it. Then in verse 3 he says, He restores my soul. Dear ones, we get restored, hopefully, on Sundays and Wednesdays as we meet together. We get restored as we open the Word of God. We get restored as we meet together around the Word of God, as we seek the Lord together. He restores my soul. My dear friend, do you need your soul restored today? Dear ones, we live in a world that is totally against us. We're in opposition. We're going like a salmon upstream. It's where we are. We're moving the opposite direction of the world system. So we have an enemy that just doesn't get what we're about. So you and I live in a world that is opposed to us. We have struggles, we have needs, we have discouragements. We need to be restored, brought back to wholeness. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Here is the reputation of God. Dear ones, if any one child fails, God fails. Do you realize that? If one child of God fails and falters, he doesn't meet their need. That's against His name. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Dear ones, God has never failed. I love the poem Footprints. It's a powerful illustration of what I mean. There are times, dear ones, where we feel that God has cheated us, that God has failed us. Kind of like what we read this morning from Doug. Lord, how have you forgotten me? Did God forget? Can God forget us? No. No, 1,000 times. No. That's why I love the poem Footprints. Because in that poem, the poet says, Lord, as I walked along, there was only one set of footprints in those hard times of my life. Where were you in that time? And the psalmist says, and the poet says, my child, I would never leave you. That's when I carried you. That's when I carried you. Oh, dear friend, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. His reputation is on the line. And you know what God thinks of His name? In Exodus chapter 20, He tells us exactly. You will not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Don't you dare count it as common. It is honored and exalted for His name's sake. It's His reputation that's on the line. He takes care of His own. Then he says in verse 4, there's His protection along with His provision. He said, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me, and you are with me. I love the hymn that says, since Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, where'er I may be, for He is there. Oh, dear ones, He is there. I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, your rod and your staff, your rod and your staff. That staff is the shepherd's protection for his flock. For Moses, it became the symbol of God's power. Moses, hold out the rod and go forward. Lord, that is called the Red Sea right there. And you want me to go forward with your people? Moses, hold out the rod. The waters will part. And they'll go forward. Go forward, Moses. And so he obeyed. And the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. And their enemy who tried to follow, God destroyed. God's rod is his protection. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I love the next phrase, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Okay, think of a fellowship Sunday, all right? Next one coming up, June 6th. Southern barbecue. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In 2014, three young men in Israel were kidnapped, subsequently murdered. An outbreak of violence occurred as a result of their deaths. A rocket was incoming from Gaza to Tel Aviv. The Israeli Defense Forces contacted the civilian defense team in Tel Aviv and said, Iron Dome is not working. There is an incoming. There could be major casualties. Please prepare. But God intervened. A wind came across from the Mediterranean Sea and blew that rocket off target and into the Mediterranean, and it did no damage. The Palestinian response was fascinating. Evidently, their God is more powerful than ours, that he could protect them. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. They can't touch me. I'm here with my shepherd. You anoint my head with oil. You anoint my head with oil. For the sheep, they get fleas and ticks and that bite and nibble at them. And so the shepherd has to go to the sheep and pour the oil on and salve and put that in to begin the healing process. You anoint my head with oil. My cup, I love this one, couldn't wait to get to it. My cup runs over. Folks, in Jewish theology and Jewish thinking, a full cup means full joy. Okay? Full cup equals full joy. Especially in Passover, four cups filled. Full cup. Why is it full? Because a full cup means full joy. But look at what David says. In verse 5, my cup does what? It's not just full. It's running over. It's abundant. It's abundant. My cup runs over. Here's 1 Peter 1. We have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so there you have the testimony of David, of his continual awareness of God's provision and protection and presence, and now his production. The psalmist concludes with his concluding affirmation, surely goodness and mercy. Underscore those two. We need both in our daily walk. We need both. In my daily walk, I need goodness. I need goodness. I need God's goodness. And I need God's mercy. Dear ones, David tells us in this psalm that he is satisfied with his shepherd. And this relationship with his shepherd will last for both time and eternity. Dear ones, when you and I first walk into heaven, I want to take you ahead, okay? When you and I first walk into heaven and we see the glory, we will be glad that he is our shepherd. And we will live with him forever. Eternity will unfold the righteousness, the glory, the beauty, the power, the majesty, the wisdom, the knowledge, the salvation of God. And we're there because Jesus Christ came into our life. Satisfied for time and eternity. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. For surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The shepherd and the sheep together forever.